السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. There comes a point in our lives when we realize that we actually need to prepare for the hereafter. That point comes about earlier for some people and a little bit later for others. May Allah never make it too late. A realization that I need to prepare for paradise. I need to work towards my hereafter. Your friends have passed on at times. You've been through a major loss, a huge challenge, and that brings about this realization. But then, I'm sinful. I've committed so much of wrong in my life. Where do I start? What should I do? These are questions that are privately asked within oneself, that sometimes they cannot communicate to others. You and I know exactly what we have done, and we know no one knows it besides us. I'm talking of evil and bad and sin. But now that the realization has come that I need to build my hereafter, will Allah accept me? And how will I prepare for paradise? How will I even deserve paradise when I've been far away from my Lord? I haven't done the basic things He's asked me to do. And so I tell you what, you need to build a connection with the Quran. That's what it is. You need to build a connection with the message that came to you telling you what to do, what not to do, and what the Lord who created you wants you to do. So at that juncture, you start realizing He's merciful, He's kind, He's compassionate, and He loves those who are merciful, who are kind, and who are compassionate. الرَّاحِمُونَ يَرْحَمُهُمُ الرَّحْمَنِ. Those who have mercy, the most merciful has mercy on them. Ooh, subhanallah. When I look at that and I start thinking to myself, there is a narration of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, telling us that Allah's mercy outweighs the mercy of a mother so many fold, no comparison. Would your mother cast you in hellfire? The answer is no. Well, what do you think Allah is going to do, especially when you're apologizing, or the correct term is when you're repenting, seeking forgiveness? Allah says, once you seek that forgiveness, once, and your sins are wiped out. You don't even need to doubt it. Doubt in whether or not your sins are forgiven is actually from shaitan, from the devil, not from Allah. Allah says, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Don't ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah, because He forgives all the sins, no matter what was done. Whenever you have the call within yourself that I need to turn, follow it up and turn for the sake of Allah. No matter what your age is, you can stop your bad ways, you can make amends, you can start afresh, and you can achieve. So don't lose hope. And I start this way for a reason. All of us at some point have sinned, and we continue to sin. It's never because we are defying Allah. It's never because we don't believe in Allah. It's never because we think we know better. But it's always, in the case of a believer, because of the weakness of humankind. That's what it is. I'm weak. Allah's created things that are beautified, and sometimes I fall, I falter. I'm human. Oh Allah, forgive me. You created me human. A point of comfort for me all the time is to look at Adam alayhi salam, and I think, you know what? He's actually, what can I say, my great, 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 a few more greats grandfather, right? And yours. And Allah told him, do whatever you want, but don't do one thing. And that's the exact thing he did. That's exactly what he did. That brings a little bit of hope in my heart to say, Well, if I've done something Allah told me not to do, not because I am defying Allah, but for my weakness, when I say, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَّمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Oh, our Lord, we have wronged ourselves. I did something wrong against myself. And why we say against myself? You, no matter what wrong you do, you never affect Allah negatively. Impossible. It's you who affects yourself negatively. So that's why we say, ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. We've wronged ourselves. And if you don't forgive us, and if you don't have mercy on us, we will be the losers. You don't lose, oh Allah. You're not just a winner. You are the creator and controller and owner of absolutely everything, myself and all other creatures included. And so, when we say that, Allah says, you're forgiven. Did you really mean it? Yes, I did. Forgiven. And then you and I fall back into the same sin a little while later, somewhere down the line, and then we find ourselves again thinking, oh, what did I just do? As soon as the sin is committed, you start regretting and saying, why did I do this? Did I really have to? You know, I'm becoming older. I could die at any time. My friends are gone, or someone went, or look at the loss I suffered. Perhaps I might suffer another loss because of what I have done. But then you've got to know, Allah says, turn back again. We know you did it again. We know you did it a third time. We know you did it four times. It's okay. Come, come. For as long as you keep seeking the forgiveness of Allah, Allah promises you, I will keep forgiving you. May Allah have mercy on us. So we're talking about the Vaal Women's Forum. Right? I was introduced to it. I'm from Zimbabwe, by the way, not from South Africa. As much as yesterday when they asked me in the rapid fire questions, Azadvel or Lens? They don't realize I'm married in Lens. What can I say? If I say Azadvel, I'll probably be in a big mess. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. But nonetheless, I was introduced to the Vaal Women's Forum. See, it says here, VMWF, the Vaal Muslim Women's Forum. A few days ago, by Qari Naeem Chunara. He told me, you know, the Vaal Muslim Women's Forum, they're having a 30-year function and they want you there. And then he sent me screenshots of someone's communication with him. But I told him, look, I can come, but maybe we have to adjust the dates. And mashallah, they adjusted the dates. Now I was curious, what's this organization all about, right? And when I figured, I knew a few things about it without asking them. Do you know what I knew? I knew that when they established themselves, they must have faced a lot of flack. Did it happen? Can you answer loudly? Yes. That's why they're successful. People must have called them names, deviated, astray, anti-Muslim, liberal, whatever else. All these names are actually Shaitan's way of trying to divert you from your work. And it's Allah's way of testing you if you're worth the work or not. Some might have actually, because of that pressure, stepped away. They lost out. The train continued. Any good work you want to do for the sake of Allah, just like every single prophet of Allah, if you have not faced challenges and accusations, that's not good work. It's not good work. I know you might think, how did you say that? Because the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the best of creation, the most noble of all prophets, who came only with goodness. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have sent you only as a point of mercy to entire creation. Look at the challenge he faced. When he came and he told the people to do good, to stay away from bad, they accused him. And he said, this is how the prophets are tested. And then those who are doing the work of the prophets one by one. So you have to have faced challenges. Number two, I can tell you about this forum without even asking them. After having faced challenge upon challenge, they started realizing growth upon growth. Am I right? Yes. To the degree that they must have become relatively independent and a force to be reckoned with against all odds. And to this day, the people who want to chirp are chirping against it. And to this day, the work is growing and continuing. Look at this function here. MashaAllah. When there is a flood and there is a storm or a tornado, the bird that is actually interested in putting up a nest continues to take one straw at a time. While everything is against this bird, in a short time, the nest is up and everybody's safe high up. That's what it is. If you ask me in my field, I used to want to advertise for events and programs in South Africa in particular. And then I realized, you know what? Other people do it for me. That's it. Who does it for you? The detractors. They let people know there's a program in Roshni, Vaal Women. They don't realize every single time they have negatively said, don't go, don't support. They're actually simply letting people know, oh, there's an event. I'm going. They wouldn't have known had it not been for them. So never ever answer your detractors. We're busy working. Don't ever look to the side to say, no, no, no. It's actually like this. It's actually not like this. You people don't have it. Who says we don't support Palestine? And who says that we don't believe in so and so? And who says we've ever said that? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. We can go upon accusation one after the other. The reality is there's no point in responding. If they wanted a response from you, O Vaal Muslim Women's Forum, they would have respectfully and quietly come to you. But because they made it in public, it shows they're jealous. Nothing else. If they could, they would want to snatch the work away from you. So please never let anyone detract you. Let's grow. And let's grow together. Allah puts it only in the hearts of those whose money He wants to use in a cause, to donate in that cause. The train will continue. When the Haram was being built, I know of someone who told me that my father owned a property here. And when they came, he said, this is for the sake of Allah, we're giving it to the Haram. They were offered three or more times the value of the building. And they said, you know what? We're giving it. And so he said, all our friends were telling us, but the government is offering you so much more. Take it, their money. He said, you know what? We don't want the money. And then he was telling me, the amount of barakah that's come to us is 100 times more than the value of that property. And others were given, and it was not wrong to take that money. And so I said, I'd like to meet your father. And one day he took me to his father, and his father, an elderly man, passed away now. Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus. He said to me, you know what? Remember one thing. It's only when Allah puts it in your heart to do something that you will be accepted to do something good. Otherwise it won't. How many wealthy people are there? And how many will not give you a penny? They will make you sing for 1 rand in order to help a dying person with a bottle of water. But the man is a trillionaire in Zimbabwe dollar terms. They won't even give you one. They make you sing for it. And another guy who's barely got anything comes and says, write my 10,000 rands every month, inshallah, for the rest of my life. Am I right? And nobody would believe, you see this guy who's hardly doing well, he's actually one of our strongest supporters and biggest donors. What happened here? Allah wants the poor person's sustenance to come through another man. So Allah gives the other man before the poor person because he has pledged. That is the benefit of pledging. When you pledge something, even when you don't have it, the hadith says the best charity is the charity that is given when you yourself are fearing personal poverty and you're still saying, let me give someone else. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum gave their lives for a glass of water. You may or may not know that incident. With us, the wealthier we become, we either become more generous or in our lingo, stingy. That's what it is. You see people amass a lot. Mashallah, we're happy for you. My brother, we're so excited for you. My sister, we're so happy for you. Two things you need to do. Number one is keep yourself humble. And number two is use whatever Allah's given you to buy what? Your Jannah. That's why I started the way I started, to say there comes a realization that I need to build for Jannah, but I'm so sinful, what should I do? Well, firstly, look at the gifts Allah has blessed you with. That's what you and I need to do. What did Allah give me? Allah gave me good health, so let me use it to do what? To put a payment down for paradise. Those of us who have taken a loan, inshallah, we're hoping a Sharia compliant loan, to buy a house. What happens? Every month you have to pay. You work hard and you make a payment every month. Because you want that house to be free and to be it to be said that this is your house. Every month you make a payment, you make sure you get to that figure and you put it down. Guess what? Every day, ask yourself, today, what did I do to pack away the amount I need in order to have my own palace in paradise? What did I do? So you say, against all odds, I put a scarf on my head. I'm talking of the sisters. For example, it's not easy. Look, we're living in an environment where it's become so difficult sometimes to be a practicing Muslim. We're lucky. In our country here in South Africa and in these suburbs that we have a greater Muslim population and we don't really have persecution of Muslims. But globally, and I travel a lot, I notice in countries it's becoming more and more difficult because people look at you in a bad way. They harm you, abuse you, judge you, and so much more. So you have different categories of people. Those who will not compromise their connection with Allah and face persecution in the face of it, just like the prophets did and the others did, for them is a great reward. And those who say, well, it's okay, no one's looking. No one's looking? Well, it's a weakness of humankind, isn't it? Today is a day, I'm telling you, my sister, my beloved brother, you have a bad habit, cut it out. It's okay. You know you got to get something done and you're not yet doing it, start it. You don't know how long you're going to live for. It is an invitation that Allah gives you through your heart. You start feeling an inclination, let me do something. I was saying, you pack away for paradise. Every day I did good deeds, I did something. What am I doing? My deeds are being counted and they're being put away. And if I can become a beautiful, humble person in the process, I will definitely see the fruit of this in my life and the next. I can tell you another thing about the sisters whose names were recited so beautifully by the uncle who came across here. Every single one of them, as much as they may have sacrificed, Allah has blessed them with certain barakah and blessings in different aspects of their lives or their family members or children, grandchildren's lives, in a way that is priceless. No money would ever buy that type of barakah. That's what they have. I guarantee it. It's not even a matter of doubting it. Because the minute you are concerned about another person's well-being, Allah is concerned about your well-being and takes care of your circle. Some might say, well, you know, I was with this group, for example, or whoever. I was a humanitarian, but I suffered a divorce. I went through all of what you might think in inverted commas was what you suffered is actually a blessing of Allah. Where you are today and where you were 20 years ago, tell me. Are you not in a favorable place? What happened? Give. Hadith Qudsi says, "Anfiq yabna Adam, unfiq alayk." One of my favorite hadith. Allah is telling you, O son of Adam, spend and I will spend on you. Imagine, spend and I will spend on you. It should be a click of a finger for Roshni to raise 1 million rands tonight for this foundation. Click of a finger in Roshni. I promise you, click of a finger. If we pledge, and I know this is not a fundraiser, but trust me, from what I've learned about this forum, they've been through so much. And those who survive against all odds are the real workers in the field that they're operating in. Especially when we're talking about something to do with pleasing your maker. Look at the motto here. service for the pleasure of Allah. Well, we're going to keep doing it. For them, whether they do it with 200 rands or 2 million rands, the reward is there. Volunteering. You have health. Allah's favored you. Use that health. You have spare time. A lot of the aunties complain that, you know what, we're sitting, our kids are much older, everyone is married, and now what do we do? Well, you know what? You got to get together and have a high tea. And do what? Not in order to gossip, in order to talk about those in need and how you're going to help them. And that's what's happening here. How many people get together and sit for a tea and gossip? They talk about, oh, you know, that one there, she's stuck up. You know, this one here, she's like this. That one's makeup is like, that's what the women do. Right? Unfortunately, the men are doing it as well. You get together and the worst thing is when men are talking about others. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Guess who's doing the work? The women are doing the hard work now. And this is why people say, oh, but it's women. You know, in Islam, you're not allowed women. You know, they're talking a load of, sorry to use the word, a load of rubbish. Women do a better job in things like these than men. Hands down. You hand them something, they'll be, yes, look, they're giving themselves a round of applause. The men here are so upset that they wouldn't even give them a round of applause. MashaAllah. We know you've got an accountant who's a female. Every rand, every cent is accounted for. Everything is in order. And by the way, it's quite neat. MashaAllah. You got a guy, by the way, 2 weeks later, you're running behind him. You're telling him this, that. You ask. You know, you who have businesses, who does a better job? The men or the women? Tell me. Women, see, they're saying it. MashaAllah. So, it's there. It's a fact. They do a better job in things like these. So much more. Allah's blessed them. They have the time. They can think. They can visit. They can check what's going on, especially in the circles of other women. And then they seek the help of the men too. We're seated here today, mashallah, tabarakallah. Ask yourself, what am I going to do in order to build my paradise? This is one opportunity. Allah has you here this evening, not by coincidence, by design. Allah put it in your heart, let me go there. For whatever the reasons may have been, let me go there. Now that you're here, your ears are hearing something. I want to tell you, you might be thinking, well, I'm doing a lot of my own good work. That's a good one, isn't it? People say, I've got my own charity. I've got my own organization. I do a lot of charity. I help so many people. But you see, when you have startups, you've got 40, 50 of them, or you go and look at any loaded guy, he'll tell you, I started 10 businesses. 9 of them failed. 1 brought me back 10 billion. So many people say this. I've read so many stories of people across the globe who tell you, I failed at school, but today, what is he? He is, mashallah, one of the leading tech guys across the globe who just sold his company to Google for how many billion? It happens, and it has happened. So you never know which charity of yours will bring about the biggest return. So try to put your money in all these bags. You can give 10,000, 10,000, 10,000, 10,000, and my own charity, I'm using 100,000 there. You know, people here who might not be on that level must be thinking, hey, this man's talking 10. I wish I even had 1, right? Oh, but now we're saying Zim dollars, mashallah. By the way, the Zim dollar, the new, they call it the ZWG, gold backed stronger than the rand, by the way, mashallah. For now, may Allah bless you. May Allah bless you guys. So it's amazing how Allah wants you to turn to Him through the gifts that He gave you by recognizing them and making them into a charity, converting it into something charitable. You have an expertise. Use that to serve a few people for the sake of Allah. I know most of the doctors that I know, there are some patients whom they will just treat for free. Why? Because they know this person may be struggling, or this person is so and so, or whatever it is, or I have a policy, and so on. So they do good. Use your field, whatever it may be, not necessarily a doctor, whatever it is, to do good. But at the same time, try to have a finger in every pie in a positive way. What does a positive way mean? Some people, they give you 5 rands, And they want to have a say in everything you're doing. And they want to follow up as though they own the whole organization. And other people will give you a million and they tell you, it's okay, we trust you. I'd like to say, be a balance in the middle, where you say, fair enough, you can send me the report. I'd like to see what's going on, inshallah, but that's it. That's what I want to see. So it encourages you to give more and more, right? So we're neither going to sit saying, it's okay, do what you want. And we're neither going to be so difficult that that finger in the pie is literally in the negative sense that it was coined for anyway. So if you have investment in so many different charities, surely one of them, if not in the case of a charity, more than one, will explode in a nice way. And here's your Jannah. One day when you arrive, the day of Qiyamah. Again, the verses read by Qari Naim also included the day of Qiyamah and what will happen and how, subhanAllah, some people see it very distant. Allah says, it's so near, it's so close. And then you are told, you know, you did this and you did this. And you say, when did I do all of this? But you know, you gave a charity to so-and-so and it happened that they gave a charity and they did this. And it was like a sadaqah jariyah for you, a charity, the reward of which outlived you by 2 decades or more, or by a century. Oh, subhanAllah. On that day, you're happy. But man wants to see the benefit today, now. I want to see what has happened. I give something, I want to see. Allah says, no problem. In this world, we will show it to you. We will give it to you for as long as you're humble. Whenever Allah speaks about giving, usually He brings it forth with humility, piety, God consciousness. Let me give you one example. In Surah Al-Layl, Allah says, regarding those who earn paradise through giving, because some of us, we don't have the time to do other deeds. I might not be getting up for tahajjud every day, but guess what? Charity, Allah's given me money, I use it. Or Allah's given me something, I make sure that I'm using it in the cause. Allah says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى. As for the one who gave and he had taqwa, which means not just gave with arrogance, not gave without God consciousness, not just gave and he was, you know, bragging about it. A lot of people have a habit. When something goes wrong, they tell you, don't forget, I'm the one who built you from nothing. I mean, why did you have to say that? Who built who? Allah built. Allah put it in your heart to give. The fact that you brag, you lost the reward of it. The Quran says that. The Quran says that there are some people who will give and they will abuse after giving. You're saying belittling things to the person you gave. Or you are giving a charity and you are bragging. No. If I make public the fact that I've given, I'm only making public for one reason. And that is to encourage others to give. I mean, imagine if a youngster comes and says, I'm giving 50,000. And there's a wealthy man standing, oh, well, this youngster can give so much. Let me give a bit more. MashaAllah. I was in Nigeria. They had to raise $6 million for a masjid. Dollars. The biggest masjid, they were renovating it. How long do you think it took them to raise that? A few minutes. I was sitting in the crowd. Uncle donated $1 million. Another uncle donated 999,999. And I said, why? Why didn't you just make it a million? Guess what he says? He says, in our culture, I can make 2 or 3 donations, but the figure shouldn't be more than the wealthiest guy here. Out of respect for the man. And then someone else donated 500,000, a few people. And someone, and then so many donated 100,000 and 20. And I'm thinking, oh, think about Nigeria. Allahu Akbar. The function was 2.5-3 hours. We got out with something that just made me dizzy, subhanAllah. May Allah use us. You see, when you see people, don't underestimate how they are earning their Jannah. I have seen some piety on another level. People you and I would never imagine. Don't miss a tahajjud. I've seen a world leader who was in the masjid before Salatul Fajr, before the time of Fajr, in tahajjud in the first saf. And I'm thinking to myself, if only people knew. And we think we're a big deal. I'm a pious guy. Why? I grew a beard. That's it. Wallahi. It's important, mashallah. But don't ever think that you are a very pious person, because that itself is from shaitan. Always tell yourself, oh Allah, allow me to do more and more in a way that when I arrive at my last day, it should be the best of my days. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made that dua, Allahumma ij'al khayra ayyamina awakhiraha. Oh Allah, let the best of our days be the last days. The best of our deeds be the last deeds. So if Allah's blessed you with something, make sure you use that to invest in your hereafter. Many of us have children. Do we ever encourage them, sit them around the table or whenever we've met, to tell them, learn to be charitable, learn to be humble? It's a rare quality to find humility amongst the wealthy. And when you do, those are good people. Those are good people. They have a consciousness of Allah. Allah will inspire them to do the right thing. And Allah will inspire them to stay away from the wrong thing. Because many times people have given. I remember a guy in South Africa. He was collecting money for Qurbani, Udhiyah. And sometime later it turned out that he was a fraud. And he came out and he said, I never did anything for the last so many years. What are you going to do about it? And I'm thinking, what? You might know the story. Maybe 10, 15 years ago. So Allah would give you the ability to distinguish between good and bad. People you know from your community. I mean, people came up here and each one is telling you, my mother is a family member. I'm the son of a family member. My mother, my granny, whoever it might have been, a part of the forum. So it means the community generally knows who they are. And when they come from decent, reasonable homes whom we know, they are best in the position to dispose or to actually distribute that charity that we have. Give it to them, support them, see what it is. They'll do a good job. And I tell you something else, when people are naysayers, some people have no job but to talk about others while the others are actually working. Have you ever heard this VMWF talk about someone else? No. But people have spoken about them negatively. They don't waste time talking. Why? They don't have the time. They're busy working. They're working so hard. They have sleepless nights because they worried about someone who doesn't have accommodation for the night somewhere. And they want to make a plan for that person. A victim of abuse, domestic abuse, whatever it may be. And they're talking to each other on the phone at night, worrying about a person who is a victim, whereas others at the same time are printing pamphlets negative about them. Who's doing the work and who has Allah rejected? I always say, you know, when people talk and they speak negative, and the only reason why I'm mentioning this is because it's on the increase, it's on the rise. We have social media. Every time you're going to hear negative things about good people, ask yourself, what work has this person done? How have they served the ummah? Take a look at it. A lot of the times they'll come across anonymous. A lot of the times they will. But there you go. Secondly, what terminology are they using to refer to what they disagree with? If it is derogatory, throw it out immediately. The reason is, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, one of the basic principles he taught us from Allah is never to be vulgar, abusive, belittling, and derogatory, even against your own enemies. When the Quran says, Musa alayhi salam sent to the Pharaoh, Allah told him, speak to the man with soft words in a respectful tone. Musa alayhi salam sent to the Pharaoh. Here, you get people who are, in inverted commas, pious Muslims attacking others who are probably more pious than them. In what? Using the most derogatory terms, claiming that, you know what, it's the sunnah. Or I'm correcting them, or I'm exposing them. But your terminology shows that it's beyond that. It's become a bit personal, isn't it? It's become a fight for turf. That's all it is. It's nothing else. May Allah Almighty forgive us. Like I say, the reason I'm mentioning it is people are afraid to talk about it. I developed a policy, and I want this organization that is, I was going to say older than me, but not. that's been working for 3 decades to perhaps take a page from what I'm about to say. Take it as an honor when people say things derogatory, nasty, untruth about you. Never mind. It's an honor. Why? We're busy doing the work. Those who know us know us. That will only chase away those who are not meant to come to us. In our language, we call it the kachara will stay away. That's what it is. The rest of the ummah will come through. You don't want someone who's going to come and trouble you, harass you, and really be a pain. So those type of pamphlets and statements, they keep away such people. That's what happens. It's good. May Allah Almighty strengthen you. And I truly make a dua from the bottom of my heart for this forum, that Allah grant you strength. And I don't want it to remain the Vaal forum. It needs to expand. One day, it will become perhaps a regional forum where the arms can extend. It may even go beyond that to become a charitable organization. You know, earlier, the uncle was mentioning the partnerships between the different aid organizations and so on. And subhanAllah, I tell you what, there can come a time when Allah allows us to grow beyond all of those. It happens, and it will happen. You look down and do the work. And they say the sky is the limit for us beyond the sky, inshallah. Forget about, why restrict yourself to the sky? Let's go wherever Allah wants to take us, and inshallah, it will happen. So as we're working, remember, focus on the pleasure of Allah. If your motto is true, nothing will harm you. You keep going. And you have to have a fair share of haters, because the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the best of all, had haters. They harassed, they did whatever they did. It's a long topic. The best, the prophets of Allah had haters. Did it diminish their level? Not at all. If anything, it was against the others. They lost out. I pity them. Honestly, I pity those who hate good people, because you know what? They are going to lose. My man, we are preparing our paradise. What are you preparing? Subhanallah. Let's move a little bit. My brothers and sisters, a need is shown to you by Allah in order to test you. Are you going to participate in it or not? Look at the Quran. Another favorite surah of mine is Surah Al-Duha. It is rich in meaning, so rich that it teaches you discipline, it teaches you character, conduct, and it teaches you how Allah is in control. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was faced with a time, a short time, where revelation didn't come, he had a feeling, maybe Allah might be angry with me. Allah might have forsaken me. Allah says, "Ma wadda'aka rabbuka wa ma qala." Allah has not forsaken you. And Allah is not upset with you. No. It was Allah's planning to have a portion, to have some time, a gap between revelation. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Walal-akhiratu khayrun laka min al-ula." We want you to know that your hereafter is better for you than this current life. That message is for all of us. Your hereafter as a believer is better for you than this life. I am convinced, and I want everyone to be convinced, that if you are going back to a Lord who is the most kind, the most compassionate, the most forgiving, the most merciful, the most amazing, the most beautiful, what do you think you are going to have as soon as you get to the hereafter? If not goodness, it can only be awesome, amazing, beautiful. Every time you seek forgiveness from Allah, He gets super, super happy, to say the least. Why would Allah be happy? What does He need from you and I? He says He gets extremely happy when His worshipper seeks forgiveness on his own. Oh Allah, forgive me. Forgive my shortcomings. Forgive all of us. Have Oh Allah, bless those who are here this evening, those who may be listening to this, those who may see this later. Bless the pioneers, those who founded this forum, and those who are doing good work across the globe. And oh Allah, guide those who are not involved in goodness in a way that they can come to the goodness. Forgive them and grant them paradise too, oh Allah. Seated here, someone sent me a message to show me a comment internationally, somewhere far away, saying something derogatory. And I made a comment. I said, may Allah grant you paradise. What else? May we meet in Jannah. May Allah gather us in Jannah. I don't have it in my heart. You know what? If you and I take a look at what Allah's given you, the praise of the one who praises you should not affect you negatively. And the hate of the one who hates you should not bother you in any way. Why? Because you know who you are between you and Allah and what Allah has given you. That's what it is. You should know it. Allah bless you. So Allah Almighty tells us in Surah Al-Duha, by addressing the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, saying, the hereafter is better for you than this life. Then Allah says, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Indeed, your Lord will give you so much until you are happy. Until you are happy. How much do you want? Imagine if Allah were to ask you, what do you want? It is said Allah will ask the person, the last person who's going to go into Jannah, what do you want? And he says, oh Allah, I just need to get in. In fact, he will initially say, it's a long hadith, he will initially say, I just want to get into the shade. I just want to get out of the fire. He's out of the fire. I just want to get, and Allah will give him more and more and more. Then the final steps, when he is about to be put into Jannah, he'll say, I just need to go in. That's it. You know, like you want to just get into the door, like a hot day, and you just want to get into the air condition. Subhanallah. Reminds me of the haram in Makkah. Nowadays they have barriers, and when it's peak season, they actually close up a bit early. Imagine if the guy allows you and says, just sit at the door. I don't care. I just want to sit near this place. Just inside here. Thank you. Thank you. Jazakallah khair. Allah reward you. You feel happy. Why? Hey, they let me in, man. You feel like a big chief, right? Imagine Jannah. How are you going to feel? Jannah. Jannah. So this man will say, just put me in. Allah says, for you is what ever was on earth multiplied by 10. Only for you, the whole world and whatever it had in it, all yours, 10 times. What? That's the last person to enter Jannah. Common sense will tell you it's either going to be me, or I'm going to get better than that, because I can either be the last or I have to be before the last, right? And the same applies to any one of us here. So even if I'm the last person, whoa, 10 times whatever was on earth. And then nothing that was on earth that you were acquainted with will be there the way you knew it. But it will be there in the most amazing, superb way that will be so mind-boggling. The hadith says, when this man enters Jannah, one foot in, one foot out, he will look around for 500 years just to see. In awe. In awe. How 500 years? Because time will not exist anymore. Infinity. So Allah says, we will give you, soon we will give you in this world and the next. Sometimes Allah allows you to struggle a little bit in this world, even up to the point of death. The fact that you have hope in the mercy of Allah, that itself is an act of worship. You know, people terminally ill, Allah grant them shifa. When you have hope in Allah, Allah can cure me, Allah will cure me, Allah shall cure me, and your health is deteriorating. That hope alone is an act of worship that is only between you and Allah. Allah says, I loved the way as you were deteriorating in health, you had so much of conviction and hope in me, that alone will give you Jannah today. That is sabr. Allah says, إِنَّمَّا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. The reward of the one who bears patience, chosen by Allah to go through patience, will be given unlimited. So that same surah tells you about giving. And how does it say you should give in Surah Al-Duha? فَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرُ وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرُ. Allah says, as for the beggar, a sa'il is a beggar, a person who comes to ask you, the one who is asking. As for the beggar, oh, so what's Allah saying about the beggar? Because there's so many beggars who I see, they come to me sometimes, they come to you. What should I do? I'm a Muslim. This is Allah talking to me and telling me about the beggar. the treatment of the beggar. What do you want Allah to say? Do you want Allah to say, give him? Well, what if it's part of a syndicate, right? Do you want Allah to say, give him? What if he's healthy and I think I'm encouraging something negative? What should I do? I have a brain, don't I? You have a brain, don't you? You see sometimes people who are begging and you tell yourself, wow, this guy looks like he's doing quite well. What's he begging here for all the time? Allah says, in fact, he didn't say, give him. And he didn't say, don't give him. That decision, he left it to you. But he said, as for the beggar, don't rebuke him. Don't abuse him. Don't say negative things to him. Don't hurt his feelings. You never know what's going on. That's all Allah says. Beggar came, I didn't give. I didn't even want to look in the direction of the person tapping on my window while I was driving. No problem. But did you rebuke? No, I didn't. Well, you did the least thing. You did something that at least you won't be penalized for. I didn't give. I didn't want to give. And you know what? I didn't even look in the direction and I just kept going. It's okay. You made that decision as a human being. It happens. Because in this country, sometimes it could be a criminal. As soon as you turn, next thing, what do you see? You hear a sound. Cut, cut, cut. And then you got to give your phone and your watch. And I don't want to say too many details. You might discourage people from coming to South Africa. But nonetheless, you either give or you don't give. Allah says, أَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. Don't abuse, don't rebuke. The same applies when you don't want to give an organization that is taking care of those beggars. Don't abuse, don't rebuke, don't stop others. I might not be rewarded for not giving, but I would be sinful when I've stopped others from doing good. Imagine. May Allah Almighty grant us ease. And this is why we say, improve on your character, your conduct. And that will actually take you far away. Many of us concentrate on our prayers. We concentrate on the pillars of Islam, which are the most important. Together with that, make sure that you've developed yourself into a beautiful soul who cares for everyone. Whether they care for you or not is besides the point. Whether they like you or not is besides the point. Whatever it is that they are doing is besides the point. You need to have a good heart. You still need to have a genuine, sincere feeling towards them, come what may. Then, inshallah, you'll be able to feel and realize the barakah that I spoke about earlier in your life. You're a happy person. You're sitting there and everyone can be so negative and you're so happy. You've got contentment, even with your hardship. Oh Allah, I thank you. You tested me with so much. It is nothing compared to the tests you have tested our brothers in Gaza with and our sisters. You and I know what's going on there. Unacceptable genocide against our brothers and sisters. We are helpless in the sense that there is a limited amount we can do. And amongst us, there is a lot of frustration. How does it manifest itself? Because one blames the other of not doing enough without knowing that, you know what, everyone's stuck in the same situation. What do you want me to do? I can't expect someone else to do what I feel they should be doing when their capacity is known by them. But I can guarantee you there is no one who truly believes in Allah and the last day who does not care for Palestine and the people of Gaza and who is not bothered and hurt by what's going on there and who does not make dua for them at all. Not even one. I'd like to think anyone who believes in Allah and the last day really cares and is really bothered and would do whatever is in their capacity. May Allah Almighty grant them ease and victory. May Allah Almighty make it easy for them and all of us. I was told you have 45 minutes. It's now 49 minutes. But nonetheless, I thought I'd let you know that when you're going back to Roshni, there is a road that you should take the other way and go back so that you can save those 5 minutes, inshallah. If you were coming from Roshni, you know what I'm talking about, right? But if you go using that route, perhaps someone can let you know whether those guys are still standing there. They might waste your time. So I thought those 5 minutes, rather give them to me than those guys on the road. May Allah bless you all. I want to congratulate the Vaal Muslim Women's Forum. Really, it's an honor to be part of this evening. And I ask Allah to accept whatever you've done, multiply it a millionfold and beyond. May Allah make it a sadaqah jariyah for you and those who started the work, and your children and the generations to come. May the work expand in such a beautiful way. I have no doubt, just by being here for this function, that this organization is absolutely a gem and one of the big, big achievements of your community of Roshni. May Allah reward you all. Aqulu qawli hadha wa sallallahu wa sallama ala nabina Muhammad. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.